to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I want to preach this morning on the parable of the tares. Now, let me do some explaining before we get too far into this. There's seven parables right in a row here. Four were taught by Jesus on the seashore and three within the house. These are referred to as kingdom parables. Don't get mystical about that. This was a parable that is for Israel, and not all of Israel was going to understand it. And the truth is, and it's explained here in Matthew in chapter 13, and as a matter of fact, verse 11, let me read verse 10 and just read a few verses here. The disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou in parables? Why are you talking to them in parables?" And he answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, it to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see and see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophet Isaiah, which saith, 'By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive.'" This people, it says in verse 15, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." God had given to Israel through the centuries light and grace and blessing. And down through the centuries, the nation Israel as a whole turned their back on God, and their heart grew harder. And so therefore Jesus is speaking in parables, and it's a lesson for Israel, but only for those that would hear. And it's for the church as well, because these are direct applications to the church. I know that Jesus is speaking under the radar to the Israelites, to the Jews, and concerning the coming kingdom, that being the 1,000-year reign of Christ, when Jesus sits upon the throne of David. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. And there is a great lesson here for the church, even the parable of the tares. And I'm going to explain the parable and explain how it applies to you and to I. And we need to understand this, and we can see how it applies to the 1,000-year reign of Christ. By the way, the church age will end with the rapture of the church, the blessed hope. The trumpet of God is going to sound, and the church is going to be taken from this earth. And during the 7 years of tribulation, Jacob's sorrow, Jacob's trouble that'll take place here in this earth, a revival for Israel, if that's the way you want to think about it. During that 7 years, in the heavenlies, is the Bema seat of Christ. And that's where the church, where we'll stand before God, and we will receive rewards accordingly. And at the end of the 7 years, in the heavenlies, is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you can look and think of the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the millennial kingdom, as the honeymoon for the church of Jesus Christ. The tribulation period, a time to bring Israel back to God. Everybody that lives through the tribulation and they're born again, they're going to enter into the 1,000-year kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, sometimes referred to as the millennial kingdom. They'll enter into that kingdom. In order to enter into that kingdom, they're either going to have their glorified bodies, that's us, or they'll be born again with their mortal bodies and enter into the kingdom after the 7 years, after the Battle of Armageddon, and they enter into the 1,000-year reign. And you can think of the earth will go through a 1,000-year period of rest. Picture of the seventh day rest. It'll be a wonderful time, a time of great abundance. But during that time, those that enter in with their mortal bodies will procreate. They will have babies. Generation after generation after generation for 1,000 years. And those that are born during that time period on this earth, in mortal bodies, will have to choose Christ to be born again. It's really that simple. It is really that simple. It's nothing complicated about this as far as parables. Now, Israel rejected the preaching of repentance of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. Israel rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. So therefore, Jesus speaks in parables. You can't read someone else's mail and understand all that's going on. The natural man perceiveth not the things of God, the scripture says. So these are unregenerate people, and it's not really clicking. So they get aside after Jesus shares this parable, and I'm going to read it one more time, and then we're going to read what happened when they got in the house. And they get in the house, and the disciples said, "Teach us about the tares. What were you talking about, Christ?" And he tells them. Let's pray one more time. Father, I pray that you'd take the word of God now and you'd make it abundantly clear. I pray that you would help this preacher not to muddy it up. Dear Jesus, if there's someone here not born again, truly born again, help them to understand that although they're alive right now, if they're a tare, if they're false wheat, they're not going to God's heaven. May they understand that. And God, revive your church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus spoke in parables. It says in verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And Jesus is going to give us the interpretation of this in just a moment. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. I'm going to preach this as I go right through this. I'll give you some understanding here. The seed, of course, is the good seed of the Word of God. Genuine believers. People get born again. Let me teach as well as preach. Good preaching has teaching in it, and you know that. And I want you to understand the content. During the kingdom, there will be people alive that are not children of God. They're the children of those that entered into the kingdom with their mortal bodies. As during the church age, there are people within the church that know the lingo. They know all the language. They know the words. They carry a Bible. Some of them stand in pulpits, and they're not truly born again. They are darnel. That's a false wheat. That is a tare. That is T-A-R-E. Could be T-E-R-R-O-R in some situations. But they're pretenders. You need to understand this. I trust you do. There are those that claim to be sons and daughters of God, and they aren't. They're not born again. There are those that declare themselves a part of the church of Jesus Christ, and they are imposters. They look like the real thing, but they are not. That's why I'm preaching this parable this morning. There's no such thing as a second generation Christian. You need to be born again yourself. It's first generation over and over and over again. Because you got saved, your kids aren't saved. Because you got saved, your grandkids aren't saved. They're not saved because dad's saved or mom's saved. They themselves need to be born again. They can come to church and they can look like everybody else. And they can win contests and memorize Bible verses and everything and not be born again. I just thought of this. When I was in Bible college, the president of the student body, my best friend, didn't get saved until he was junior year in Bible college. And he was the guy that was the great prayer warrior. He prayed longer than anybody else. I used to hate going to prayer meeting with him because, you know, we'd pray around the beds at night in dorm devotions, and he'd pray. And I always felt so unspiritual because I could get it all done in 5 minutes. You know, I was no big deal. And I remember something that D.L. Moody said, the guy that prays long in public is probably the guy that doesn't have any private prayer meetings, private time with God. And at any rate, it turned out to be true. Jim gets saved. He's pastoring today, but he 3 years in Bible college before he got born again. And he won all the contests. Man, he was the go-getter Christian. But he was darnel. He was an imposter. He was the pretender. It says here, and by the way, that might be you. And I don't recognize it because you look like the real McCoy. But you know in your heart of hearts, you've never trusted Christ. You've called out to him for help, but you've never been born again. You know all the religious games. You know it all. That's why you're not committed to Christ. Because, you know, it's whatever it is this morning. Jesus said in verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Tares, it's when it comes to the time of harvest, that's when you tell the real McCoy, the tare, T-A-R-E, from the wheat. Because then it changes color. It turns black, and it's an obnoxious weed, is what it is. But they grow together. They attend the same church. They know the same songs. But they're not for real. You said, is that going to happen? Jesus spoke of this many times. Matthew chapter 7, we'll turn there in a moment. People that claim to be saved and they're not. Imposters. It's a terrible thing. Verse 30 says, let both grow together until the harvest. That's a good thing. God's not going to make any mistake. He knows whose name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. If it was up for the preachers to find out who the real saved people were, and we were to inspect your lives, we'd make mistakes. We'd be carpet bombing is what we would be doing. There would be no strategic bombing at all. Man, we would just blow it. There'd be all kinds of collateral damage, and we'd be destroying lives. Aren't you glad it isn't up to men? It isn't up to a man, or it isn't up to a board or a hierarchy on whether you're going to heaven or not. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And he's going to sort it out. He's going to send his angels. Now, concerning the kingdom, he sends his angels among the people of the earth. And they decide who's saved and who's really not saved. That's at the end of the tribulation. I understand that. Or during the millennial kingdom. I understand that. Let's read on. Verse 30 says, 29, but he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat that's with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable in verse 31. It's just two verses. It's the parable of the mustard seed. And in a nutshell, I'll just tell you what that parable's teaching. The kingdom of God is going to be a great kingdom. It's going to reach all peoples, every group. Verse 33 says, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. In the Bible, the word leaven, or the item leaven, is always a picture of sin, and it's going to be rampant there, even in the kingdom. You say, even with Jesus sitting on the throne of David? Yeah, because there's going to be human people there. There's going to be mortal bodies there, and we're all prone to sin. During that time, I remind you, we'll have our glorified bodies. I told you it'd be like our honeymoon. The Bible says we'll live and reign as priests and kings. The Bible says we will reign according to our faithfulness. You say, we're going to serve? Absolutely. And it'll be fun. It'll be a wonderful time. Another sermon. Skip on down to verse 36. Verse 36, here is the explanation. Here's what Jesus said. And by the way, the wheat and the tares, they grow together. It's a great opportunity to preach the gospel. Friday, I got to preach in a church that I'd heard about most of my adult life. Rose Park Baptist Church in Holland, Michigan. A church of kindred spirit. Take the same stands we take. It's a good man in the pulpit. His son is one of the assistant pastors there. Man, it's a beautiful facility. They got a little bit more, you know, bling than we got, right? The beautiful facility. But you know what was interesting? Their auditorium, although it was fancy, was the same colors we have. They have the same carpet. The very same carpet. Just a different shade of red. They got hardwood flooring up on the platform. I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, man, I'm almost like at home right here. And I felt like that. Felt like it as well. But I got to stand in one of the great pulpits, one of the great churches in the state of Michigan. And I was reminded that Fundamental Baptist Church, I pastor a great church as well. I love it. I don't mean great to the exaltation of man. I'm talking about great to the glory of God. To the glory of God. And people come up to me afterwards and say, boy, I appreciate that preaching. You told it just like it was. just the way it's supposed to be. I said, well, if you knew me, you'd know that. One lady said, boy, thank you for being willing to let God use you. I said, if you knew me, you'd know it was God, because it's sure not me. And what a privilege it is to preach the gospel. What a privilege to tell people about Jesus and tell them how to be born again. And it ought to humble us. What an opportunity to serve God. And I understand, and I'm saying this morning, in the ministry of Fundamental Baptist Church, there's got to be some terrors here. Some people that are pretenders. I want you to understand the gospel. I want you to understand what Jesus did for you. And that you yourself can be born again. And it isn't enough to play a game or wear, have a label or some kind of title. You can't just wave your Bible and say, man, I'm a Baptist. I'm an independent Baptist. Yeah, that's wonderful. But man, you've got to be born again or you ain't much of an independent Baptist. You need to choose Christ, no matter what your title. Look what Jesus said here, verse 36. Jesus sent the multitude away. Here's where the rubber meets the road. And he went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Man, they wanted to know. They had a hunger for the truth. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the seed, the good seed, is the Son of Man. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And the field is the world. Okay? And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. That's pretty straightforward. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. End of the millennial kingdom. Let's pause right there and go to Revelation and chapter 20. I want you to understand this. Revelation and chapter 20. There is an enemy. It is Satan. He's a real entity. He's an individual created being. He is not deity. Today he walks the face of this earth seeking whom he may devour. He's not in hell. Some of the demons are reserved in chains of darkness, going to be released at the last time. But the devil himself, he still has access to the throne of God, and he will till the middle of the tribulation. And he walks this earth, and he's got an army, a legion, an army of demons that are working for him, forces of darkness. And they're doing their best to sow tares among the wheat. This applies to the church age, to the church of Jesus Christ. The devil has joined the church, is what he's saying. And he's brought in wolves in sheep's clothing to destroy, to hinder, to depress the work of God. It says in Revelation in chapter 20 and verse 7, going to now to the kingdom, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of prison, because he's put in prison at the end of the tribulation, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up the breadth and the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. There is an enemy. There's an enemy for the kingdom. He'll be released at the end of the kingdom, and it's the devil. And it's that same devil that right now in the church age is walking the face of this earth, seeking the weak and whom he may devour, the scripture says. You see, the devil's not your friend. If he has his way, he will destroy you, and he'll take your children to hell. And he'll take your grandchildren to hell. Don't go cuddling up with the devil, with Satan. Don't understand, he's an angel of light. I know there's all kinds of religions. This is the whole point of this parable. There's all kinds of false messages. And the result is, there's tares among the wheat. Go back to Matthew in chapter 13. Matthew in chapter 13. I'll start to wind this down already. Saved and unsaved will coexist in the kingdom. Saved and unsaved coexist in the quote-unquote church. The truth is, they're not part of the church if they're unsaved. But they're pretending to be part of the church. Some of them knowingly. Some of them are deceived and their minds are blinded. When God goes to work in the parable, the Son of Man? The devil goes to work, the enemy, and he sows tares among the wheat. Verse 39 says, the enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest, the end of the world, the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered together and burned in the fire, lake of fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Revelation 20:15. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Very picturesque language. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'll bet that shook the disciples up. You mean there, and there was a Judas right there in their number. People who aren't really saved. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I have preached this passage before. There are people who claim to be sons and daughters of God, and they are not. Please. If you think by fooling Pastor Rader, or Pastor Lockhart, or Pastor Rader, if you think by fooling them, and tricking them and them thinking that you're a Christian when you're not, that doesn't carry any water. We're not your judges. It won't be any of us on the throne. I'll guarantee you that. It's going to be the Son of God. And you're not fooling God. Your name is either recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life or it is not. You're either wheat or you're darnel, you're tares. And the tares will be gathered and burned, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said in verse 21, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's crystal clear. These aren't people that were saved and lost it. That's not taught in the Bible. These are people that never had it. He said, I never knew you. You were never born. Oh, but I preached. I prophesied. Oh, man, I was an exorcist. I cast out demons. Boy, I was big and mighty. I did many wonderful works. Jesus said, uh-uh. You were never born again. That's the only way to heaven. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He must be born again. That's why I preach this message this morning. You might be here this morning, everybody thinks you're born again. You're not. I don't know it, but you know it. And of course, God knows it. There must be a time and place where you call upon God, where you repent of your sin, where you ask Jesus to save you, where you ask for forgiveness of sins. Come into your heart, into your life. You do that. But as many as receive him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. John 1:12. That's all that God requires. Over 400 times in the Bible, it says this is the only way to heaven. That's why God came from glory in the form of God the Son and died on Mount Calvary, that we might have eternal life. I know the message has been confused and convoluted and muddied by all kinds of false prophets, tares. Some of them told you got to be a Methodist. Some of them told you got to be a Baptist. Some of them said, oh, the Catholic Church is the true church. Some of you, and they muddied it all up with man-made religion. Where the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, God said, you keep your hands off my message. I sent my son. He died on the cross for sinners. He made a way for sinners to be redeemed, to become my children, to be born again. Don't be a tare and say, well, I might be saved. Don't play games with your soul. Eternity is a long time. Don't say, well, I kind of grew into it. Boy, that's dangerous. Nobody grows into birth. Man, you were born. That simple. It's written in the county courthouse. Day of birth. Man, you were born. And when you get born again, John chapter 3, it's written in the book of life. The Lamb's book of life. And it'll never be taken out.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.